In the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every heart that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease. That our divisions being healed, we may all live in your justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. Good morning. In 2014, Dr. Maya Angelou, American poet, memoirist, and civil rights activist, delivered her well-known poem, A Brave and Startling Truth, at the 50th anniversary commemoration of the United Nations. I've listened to her deliver this poem on YouTube perhaps a dozen times in the last 2 weeks. I've been practicing lament in these days, crying out to God for just a pinprick of light to begin to light our way forward in these days when a military-style assault weapon and hundreds of ammunition rounds are easier and quicker to obtain than a driver's license, prescription drugs, and soon a medically necessary abortion. Honestly, I cannot see the sense in all the energy and outcry to abolish women's reproductive health care rights when we do nothing to protect the children we have among us now. So you see, I lament, crying out to God for that pinprick of light that reminds me that God is still speaking love, hope, and life into the very midst of hate, grief, and death. I miss Maya Angelou's actual voice, and I give thanks that we have her voice in so many other formats. One of several pinpricks of light for me in the midst of my journey of lament is this, A Brave and Startling Truth by Maya Angelou. We, this people on this small and drifting planet, whose hands can strike with such abandon, that in a twinkling life is sapped from the living. Yet those same hands can touch with such healing, irresistible tenderness, that the haughty neck is happy to bow, and the proud back is glad to bend. Out of such chaos, of such contradiction, we learn that we are neither devils nor divines. When we come to it, we, this people on the wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, a climate where every man and every woman can live freely without sanctimonious piety and without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is when, and only when, we come to it. This poem was dedicated by Dr. Angelou to the hope for peace, which lies sometimes hidden in every heart. This week, I am ever grateful for Dr. Angelou's gift, because this was my pinprick of light. As I prayed our readings for today, this day of Pentecost, that pinprick began to move forward toward hope, small, not fully formed, but nevertheless hope. When our daughter Sarah was in high school, she began attending a weeknight service at New Hope Christian Church in a nearby city with a friend. Having grown up in the Episcopal Church, she had very little exposure to the Pentecostal charismatic branch of Christendom until this experience. The service she attended with her friend was geared toward teens. There was a Christian rock band and dancing in the wide aisles of the theater-style worship space. She was drawn to the sense of joy that she felt in the music and the dancing. One evening, she returned from the service and came in to discuss what happened there. She heard people speaking in what seemed another language and saw them falling to the floor. Now, Sarah was raised to embrace with hope difference and diversity. And she said there was something scary for her about the experience as well. So we talked about the Pentecost experience that we read in Acts today, and we looked together at the passage. And she commented that though the experience was bewildering to some, it felt more to her as if each, hearing in their own language in Acts, was affirmed by God for their diversity. In the experience she encountered, she didn't understand anything she heard until the interpreters spoke. And even then, she felt unclear and very much outside the experience of the community gathered. In a way, she felt simultaneously ill at ease and left out of something profoundly spiritual to others. Perhaps many gathered for the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, or later called Pentecost, the third of the three great festivals of Judaism, felt what Sarah felt at first. What in the world is going on? And yet, look how joyous and full of the Spirit these people are. To some, appearing to be drunk on wine, when in fact Luke tells us they are filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. This was the Spirit that filled Jesus in his ministry and gathered around him a great diversity of God's humanity. Especially attracted to the spirit of love and openness in Jesus were those marginalized, poor, oppressed, captive, outcast, suffering, and rejected of society. This advocate, this comforter, which Jesus had promised would come among the disciples after his ascension, is the same very spirit of Jesus, shared with the disciples and all who gathered near to hear, to touch, to be healed by the God with whom Jesus in the Spirit in John's Gospel is one. This text is all about inclusivity. It's all about all. As commentator Sarah Hack Polansky writes, the story of Pentecost as we have it in Acts chapter 2 is itself a commentary of sorts on the Joel chapter 2 passage that Peter adapts here. In the last days, they shall prophesy. God pours out the divine spirit on all of them. In the form of a violent wind and tongues of fire distributed among them. And they all speak in various languages about God's deeds of power. Attending to the inclusivity of the Joel passage, which speaks of sons and daughters, young and old men, enslaved men and women, the 11 apostles are not specified in our text today from Acts, until verse 14. So when we read they and all of them in the previous verses, we come to understand this to be all, the entire group of believers, which in Acts 1:15 tells us numbered about 120 persons. While no age or economic data are supplied, from what we know of Jesus' ministry, it's reasonable to assume that there were also old and young members of the group, as well as slaves and free persons. Jesus' ministry was wide-ranging. It was inclusive. It was expansive. as Luke's gospel makes particularly clear, with attention given to shepherds and foreigners and even Roman soldiers who recognize Jesus' importance and power. So now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, those socially and economically disparate folk will come together to proclaim Christ crucified and risen. The timing for this, for Luke's telling in Acts, is that the Jewish diaspora, those living outside of Israel, and the tradition of Shavuot, that brought the Jewish people from all over the world to Jerusalem on this occasion, worked together to make the church's initial proclamation of the gospel a word that simultaneously reaches people from many, many lands. The unfolding event set forth in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That through the Spirit's power, the gospel will be proclaimed in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, is both inaugurated and anticipated in its fullness. Pulaski concludes, the Pentecost event is both an occasion of prophecy and a fulfillment of prophecy. The servant text from Isaiah that Jesus reads in Nazareth at the very beginning of his public ministry is preceded a few chapters earlier by God's promise to Israel. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. And Ezekiel records the divine promise. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will put my spirit within you. The very beginnings of the church, as Acts affirms, is both a completely new thing and entirely in keeping with God's promise to God's people throughout their shared history. When we come to it, we, this people on the wayward floating body, created on the earth of this earth, a climate where every man and every woman can live freely without sanctimonious piety and without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is, when and only when. We come to it. Commentator Stephanie Crumpton takes this one step toward the understanding my daughter Sarah was looking for in her experience of spiritual speaking of tongues rather than hearing in natal tongue. And she also guided me with Dr. Angelo toward that pinprick of light in these weeks of carnage in our country. As the disciples gathered to celebrate the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot with other Jews from the diaspora, a mighty wind came through. Tongues of fire appeared over them, and they gave the power to speak about God in multiple languages. People who spoke these languages heard accents and words and syntaxes that were familiar. As a result, they did not have to do what my daughter Sarah had to do, nudge the person next to them and ask, "What are they saying? What is that word? What do they mean?" Nor did they have to quietly confess, "I don't get it. I don't understand." They could hear the good news of God themselves, each and every one. No one had to abandon the culture that gave them their identity in order to hear from God. God's word came that day in a way that expressed God's deep affirmation of diversity and inclusivity as a key to the kind of unity without uniformity that allows all to be who they are made to be in the beauty of God's love without judgment or persecution or oppression. For some, this level of diversity was so foreign that it had to be the work of too much wine. But Peter, however, is clear. And here is that pinprick of hope. This was that day. The day that prophets foretold about how God's Spirit would one day pour out on female, male, sibling, young and old, free, black, brown, yellow, olive, white, enslaved, non-binary, binary, queer, transgender, gender neutral, pangender. The Spirit poured out on all. This was it. In this moment, it is diversity, not homogeneity. It's not white supremacy or LGBTQIA plus phobia or xenophobia or racism or all the other isms that we create to deny the beauty of diversity in God's kingdom. This was it. This is Pentecost. It was diversity and God's love for all of us that brings the community of believers together. Difference is no longer an excuse for division or a justification for injustice, inequality, fear, or hate. This is the power of God at work in transforming institutions, including the church and the people within them. We celebrate Pentecost as a barrier-breaking moment when God spoke to, through, and in whatever language was necessary to say, I love you, just as you are. That's the good news. This is the day when we, as Dr. Angelo writes, come to it. Don't wait anymore. We need to come to it. What does it mean in the midst of so much pain and grief in these days to let the Holy Spirit come into our own lives, our own being, so that we are set on fire with God's love for all, each and every child of God? And we find empowerment to speak the truth where there is none, to vote knowing what needs to be changed, marching, rallying, gathering to affirm the rights of all God's children, to write and call our legislators over and over and over. Make them sick of you. As we carry the good news of God's love, taking whatever steps we can, to build thread by thread, life by life, hope by hope, the beloved community that God spoke through God's people on the day of Pentecost. We are the ones. We are God's voice. We are the persons that God longs to speak through in our day. I think a lot of us are waiting for someone else. It's us. You are empowered by the Spirit, not only today, but every day. When was the last time you were on fire with God's love? Let today be the day. The body of Christ is called to disrupt suspicion of difference and to work tirelessly for justice and equity for every beloved child of God. The good news is that the disciples and apostles through the centuries, including us now, we are the disciples and apostles, were and are not alone in spirit or in community. They were faithful to the vision of how God works through diversity and inclusivity to gather beloved community. It's our time to be faithful to that vision. And the hopelessness so many feel will slowly turn to hope again in the fire of the Holy Spirit in you. A new heart I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you. I will put my spirit within you. When we come to it, we, this people, on the wayward floating body created on the earth of this earth, a climate where every man and every woman and every child can live freely without sanctimonious piety and without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is when and only when we come to it. Let it be today. Let it be now. There's no time to waste. Amen.